My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are mad about Mickey, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice just thinking about or planning, or maybe you've just booked your first ever trip to Walt Disney World and you don't know your slinky dog from a stinky dog, then this really is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. And this week's guest, William, not only is a big fan of Walt Disney World, he's also the UK's leading etiquette expert.
No, this is a queue. This is a fair system. This is what we are doing. If we all did this, no one would ever get on the ride.
As well as William's memories from Walt Disney World, we'll pick up a few tips on how we should be behaving in the parks as well, along with answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting all the latest news, and if you're about to go to Orlando, everything that you need to know that's going on right now. And make sure you keep in touch with us as well on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. If you're currently planning your holiday to Walt Disney World, or you're currently planning a holiday to Walt Disney World and you've got any planning questions, either something long-term or maybe something that's happening, you go next week and you want to know a quick answer to something, then do get in touch. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PodMagical. Alex is looking at long-term plans and considering staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Is it worth paying the extra for a Savannah room, or are normal rooms just as good? Now, Animal Kingdom Lodge, I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before. If this hotel was not in Walt Disney World, you could stay there for a week anyway because of the little safari park that's in the middle of it. If you're going and you want to see the animals, you do have to pay for a Savannah view. You might be lucky on check-in, you might get an upgrade and you might end up seeing the animals. But usually the case is that you have to pay for that Savannah view, and there is quite a big difference between the normal view and the Savannah view. If you're the kind of person, though, who is getting up in the morning, getting to the theme parks as soon as it opens and staying till the end of the fireworks, then is it worth even going to Animal Kingdom? Is it worth staying at that premium? Maybe you want to look at a moderate resort, or maybe even a value resort if all you need is a little bed and then the transport that gets you to and from the parks. But if you're the kind of person who spends a lot of time in your room, maybe you come back in the afternoon, you want to sit and chill out and you want to look at the animals, then you will have to pay for that Savannah View room. But it is a great resort. But if you're not going to be there for most of the time, maybe have a look at where else your budget could take you. If you want to still stay in one of the nicer hotels, maybe have a look at one of the Boardwalk hotels, so you've got access to Epcot and Hollywood Studios a little bit nearer. It depends what your budget is. But you want to see the animals? You got to pay for it. I had a question on Instagram from Mark. Actually, a couple of other people have asked this as well over the last week or so since the sale started, and everybody's trying to get you to book to go to Orlando for some reason. Andy, I've seen on Facebook groups people talking about free dining at Walt Disney World, but when I click on it, I can't seem to get it. That is because it's an American offer. They have different offers to what we have in the UK. We usually get better free dining that quite often is released around Easter time, which will be for holidays for next year at Walt Disney World. But if you're seeing any offers on at the moment, at time of recording this podcast, they are most likely an American-only offer, which is why. And to be honest, they're not very good free dining. Quite, I think a lot of them is just free dining for kids or for certain weekends. There's not a lot of free dining offers for Americans who are booking over there. We do get the better free dining, which hopefully will be coming out in a few months' time. So I'll be sure to let you know as soon as it does, and make sure you're following us as well at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PodMagical. Same place to go to send your questions to. We'll be answering your questions every Friday on the podcast. And of course, that's where you go if you want to be a guest on the podcast and have a chat about Walt Disney World, like this week's guest, who doesn't only love Walt Disney World, he is one of the UK's leading etiquette experts, William Hansen. So, William, tell us what it is that you love about Walt Disney World.
I like the fact that it is pure escapism. And yes, okay, if you think too hard about it, you can see that everything has been very carefully planned to give everybody a fantastic time. But what's wrong in that? I mean, I wish I had thought of it. I challenge anybody, even the biggest Scrooge or the biggest snob, not to have a good time at any of the Disney parks.
So when was the last time you went?
The last time I went was 2018. I think it was 2018, potentially 2017. The trouble with Disney is it never really leaves you. So you think that you were there more recently than you actually were.
That's so you go back.
Well, exactly. Yes. And to be perfectly honest, I watch quite a lot of Disney videos on YouTube. So, again, it feels like I'm there more often than I am.
Oh, so do you watch all the vloggers? So it feels like you're there?
No, I'm not that No, I mean, I watch, I don't, if there's a person talking about their experience of Disney on camera, not interested, because generally it's normally about them rather than the park. But if it's a voiceover doing something and it's pure imagery of the park and it's less personality driven, then yes, I like all that.
Good, good. DFB food blog, she's very good.
Right, okay, I will
put that on your list. Yeah, we never see her, but she's eaten at every single restaurant and she's very good with her Disney food knowledge, especially.
Oh, okay, well, good.
Whilst we're talking about food, then let's find out, have you got a favourite restaurant at Walt Disney World?
I'll be honest, no. I put it about a bit in terms of the restaurants at Disney. I like to play the field and see what else is out there. Generally, I normally gravitate towards something on Main Street rather than elsewhere. I mean, Disney gets a lot of stick, as we know, for the quality of the food, and it's not to everybody's taste. There is generally, but you know, you're not necessarily going to go and get fine dining, but there are finer options than others. So I don't have a specific favourite restaurant, but if you're in America, eating American food, it's more authentic than trying some of the non-local cuisines to America.
See, I disagree. I think there are some great places to eat at Walt Disney World, especially in the hotels and the resorts.
True, but when you're within the park, sometimes a limitation. Do you know what? It's just come back to me. I did eat in a nice restaurant in Disney. I ate at Citrico's, or whatever they call it, in the Grand Floridian.
Very nice.
Yes, which was nice. Again, that slightly dated Floridian feel to it. Floridian meaning the state of Florida, not just the hotel. But really nice food. My partner had some hake that he still talks about today that he loved. It's best hake he's ever had.
Wow. Well, Epcot's quite good. There's some great food at Epcot.
Do you know what? I've never been to Epcot.
What?
Sorry.
What?
Although they're supposedly going to do a Mary Poppins right at Epcot. They are building that for next year or the year after, so they announced. So I will be first in the queue
for Mary Poppins. That.
Exactly. But no, my family, my wider family, in 2014, I think we all went to Orlando, and we had a villa sort of half an hour away from the parks, and they said, right, we're only going to do one day at Disney, which already irritated me. And they said, we all want to go to Epcot. And I said, sorry, if you're doing one day at Disney, there is only one park that you go, and that is the Magic Kingdom. I'm not doing Epcot. It looks fairly dull. It's not as exciting. I don't mind doing it as a second day, but as the first day, I'm doing Magic Kingdom. Thanks very much. So I went on my own to Magic Kingdom. They all went off to Epcot. But the trouble is, at the time, I was a little bit larger than I am now, and it was, of course, very hot, being the summer, and I made the mistake of wearing electric yellow shorts and an electric blue polo top.
Wow.
And on your own, walking around Disney, little bit larger, sweaty, wearing very bright colours, you do look a bit suspicious. And I think it was during Adventures with Belle, which I had no idea what that was at the time, because it was just, they had just expanded Fantasyland. So yeah. I thought, oh, this is going to be like the Peter Pan ride or Snow White. You're going to sit and go through. Well, as we all know, it's not. End up sitting in a room with Belle, having to march around the room singing Be Our Guest, holding a cardboard fork. When you don't have a 3-year-old with you, that is quite awkward. On my own. So that journey was cut short at Magic Kingdom. And I think I got to 1 o'clock and I went, there's no fun on your own. And so I went home and waited for the rest of my family to return from Epcot.
And did they have a much better time at Epcot than your experiences in the Magic Kingdom?
I think so, yes. They did manage to all collectively break one of the rides. The rides where you fly, I'm told. I haven't done this ride. You sit
Soarin'.
In some sort of... Yes.
They broke it.
Well, they all got escorted off and weren't allowed back on. I don't know what they did. I mean, my family very well behaved, so they're not chavs. I don't know what happened. Apparently, it was something to do with my aunt.
Oh right, is she of a particular size?
No,
all right.
No, she's very petite.
I'm intrigued as to how they can break Soarin'. So, do you have a particular favourite attraction? It's obviously not Storytime with Belle.
It's got to be Peter Pan. Peter Pan's right. What's it called again? I just call it Peter Pan.
Yeah, Peter Pan's flight.
Peter Pan. Yes, Peter Pan. We all know what we mean. across all, I think it's been pretty much all of their parks, it is the one ride I will gravitate to first. As a child, when I was first taken to Disney, I was obsessed with Peter Pan, the film. And then so to live the ride was phenomenal, and it will always bring back childhood memories. In terms of the thrill factor, we all know it's not the greatest, but there is something about that story and something about the way that they do it. And okay, in some of the parks it's a slightly dated ride, and I think it needs updating. Some of the versions, as we know, of the ride in the Asian versions of Disney is a lot more technologically advanced than the Western parks, but it's still a wonderful classic ride.
And in terms of places to stay, you stayed in a villa. Have you ever stayed at Walt Disney World on property?
No, I haven't. The last time I was in Florida, we stayed at the Waldorf Astoria, which is a partner hotel with Disney. And that was nice because I think, you know, we did other theme parks as well, but obviously none are as good as Disney, as much as they try. But I've stayed in Disney hotels in other parts of the world, but not in Florida.
So which of the Disney parks have you been to?
I've been to Paris, I've been to LA, and I've been to Shanghai.
Favourite out of those?
Do you know what? I mean, as a child, we went to Florida and we went to LA. Probably LA only once and Florida a couple of times. And when I went back to LA, yes, it was LA I was there last year, sorry, and it was Florida the year before that. When I went back to LA, I thought, the trouble with LA, it's, you know, the castle's tiny, it's the original, there's no room to grow, it's not going to be as good as Walt Disney World. And yeah, okay, it's a bijou version of Walt Disney World, but because it was the one that Walt Disney, of course, oversaw from start to, I say, finish, as finished as he got it, it does have that original magic, and it did have a really lovely feeling. I also think there are some much better things to do with, much better things in LA than there are in Florida. Fantasmic, for example, in LA is 1,000 times better than Florida.
Even though you have to sit on the floor.
We didn't have to sit on the floor, I should just point out. But yes, the seating is not great for a lot of people. But the show is, they've updated it, they continue to update it. There are bits I don't like in the show that they've got rid of from the original. But in the trouble with the Florida version of Fantasmic is that you are so far removed from what's going on. Everyone looks microscopic standing on the island. And it's dated. The dragon's dated. Some of the technology's not as good. And they really need to do something about that.
Maybe they will for the 50th. Maybe. But the problem is they have to take it down, and then that's, you know, thousands of people at night just roaming around, and they kind of like need something to suck the people up at night, I think.
So maybe they do. Well, and hopefully Happily Ever After, if they could do that twice a night, potentially.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea at all. Is there anything you don't like about Walt Disney World?
It's not in the UK.
that is a massive problem.
Yeah, it's quite far away. So when you are in Britain, it's a bit of an effort to go there. Even the Paris one's, you know, a bit far away. Not as far away, but it's not as close as I would like it. Sometimes the people, you know, I've been very fortunate that certainly since I've been an adult, I've been able to go slightly off the back of school holidays, so not in the middle of it. But when I have been there during school holidays, sort of as a teenager, it's not as much fun unless you have children, where you of course would have to go in school holidays. But I think generally it's sort of nicer the week after Easter or the week after summer holiday has finished, and you can perhaps enjoy. There are still lots of children there, but not as many. So when it gets busy, that's perhaps suboptimal.
William, we'll have more of your memories very soon, and also as you are here, we must get some tips on how we should be conducting ourselves in the parks, as you are the UK's leading etiquette expert. Let's have a look at some of the latest news coming over from the Walt Disney World. If you are looking to stay at one of the Pop Century resorts, or maybe the new Riviera or Caribbean Beach or Art of Animation, there has been a change to transportation. Buses that run from these resorts to Epcot and Hollywood Studios have been reduced to 1 an hour. This is because these hotels fall on the Disney Skyliner route. So the Skyliner is really your main mode of transportation from Riviera, Caribbean Beach, Art of Animation and Pop to those two parks. There is just one bus an hour. Buses, by the way, to Magic Kingdom
Kingdom and Animal Kingdom, and Disney Springs will remain the same. And if the Skyliner is down, then buses will be replaced there. But if you're not a fan of heights, and if you're looking to stay there, then you might want to reconsider. Elsewhere, we've got some new Spirit jerseys. Of course, we've got some new Spirit jerseys. There's always Spirit jerseys. There's new Mandalorian Spirit jerseys that came out a few weeks ago. If you're a fan of Pixar, there's the Luxo Ball, and that's now on a Spirit jersey. And to celebrate the Chinese New Year, the Chinese New Year Spirit jersey. In fact, there's quite a lot of a Year of the Mouse Lunar New Year collection that Disney have got at the minute, because, of course, it is the Year of the Rat. But rat, mouse, it's near enough. Spirit jerseys, by the way, they seem to have gone up a little bit in price. You're talking about $70 for an adult Spirit jersey. Don't forget, we'll keep you updated with any news as it breaks on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just give us a follow, give us a like. We are at Pod Magical. Same place to go. If you want to be a podcast guest, we're back to this week's guest, who was an etiquette expert, Lord William Hansen. We have to talk about theme park etiquette. Because you are an expert in this, and I don't think there's anywhere in the world that can, you know, it's magical and it's lovely, but it also tests your patience. It's hot, you know, you're doing long days, you've got screaming kids, and a lot of people don't know how to cope with themselves when they're at Walt Disney World sometimes. So, for example, if I went to rope drop at Animal Kingdom and I wanted to get on Flight of Passage and there are hundreds of people in front of me and I don't want to queue, what is the best way at rope drop of basically shoving my way to the front of that queue? Is there a good way of doing that?
Well, obviously, if there's single rider, that's always a good option for you, because you can do that politely and perfectly above board. But no, queue jumping is not ever in any situation, any of the Disney parks or in a supermarket or wherever you happen to be, queue jumping is not ideal and not what we would encourage. It's very democratic, a queue. It's first come, first served. And no one's really in a rush at Disney. You know, we're all there for the same sort of reason. No one's got a dentist appointment they've suddenly got to rush to, or something like that. There's no traffic warden going to ticket your car. And so I don't really rub with people that say, oh, I'm in a bit of a hurry. Well, you're in the wrong place if you're in a bit of a hurry. I remember when I went to Shanghai Disneyland, I was there with one of my other Western friends, as they would be called in China. And of course, in China, they are much more brazen about pushing in. They don't necessarily get the democratic element of a queue. And they would say, and my friend speaks Mandarin, and would say, oh, no, I need to get through. I'm meeting my friend up there, and would point vaguely in the distance. And you think that's a complete lie. They would climb over the barriers. So we had great fun just literally pushing them back down very gently because they just don't care. And that you could look at them, you could see the confusion, thinking, I can't. Like, no, this is a queue. This is a fair system. This is what we are doing. If we all did this, no one would ever get on the ride.
Exactly. This has happened in America. This has happened a couple of times where they go, oh, my family are at the front of the queue. So, you know, the family have got in the queue and they've gone off for a burger or whatever, and then they've joined them like an hour later. How would you deal with that? Is it fair to just politely just push them away?
No, I just say, I'm so sorry. Nice big smile. And don't engage. If you give yourself or if you give them rope, they'll hang you. So keep it short and sweet. I'm so sorry.
Get to the back.
I wouldn't shout get to the back. But yes, I'd be thinking that, obviously.
Yell in their face. It's similar as well when you've been waiting to watch the fireworks. This has happened at Magic Kingdom. You know, you've got a really good spot for the fireworks and you've been there 45 minutes before it starts, and seconds before it starts, you get a family who find that little space in front of you and they get the little kid and the dad puts the little kids on the shoulder. And then the mum gets the iPad out and they start filming. And suddenly, after your 45-minute wait, your view is completely obstructed. How do you deal in that situation?
I point it out to them. I mean, again, if the show's going on, it's very awkward because you don't want to really talk over the show and ruin it for even more people that are around, because they do need to listen to the music and watch the fireworks and the projections. So it's a tricky one. But if you're going to stick a child on your shoulders, then I think out of courtesy to the people behind you, you then move to the back of the rank so the child can still see. If you can't see, you should have got there earlier.
Exactly. Get there early. How do you deal with screaming children as well? If you're in a restaurant and there's a family over there and the kids are just going wild and they're not bothering with them.
That's the trouble. It is very bad manners and also ill-advisable to parent other people's children, especially the children that you don't even know and where there is no connection. So sadly, other than pick up your tray and find a quieter spot or leave the restaurant, there isn't very much you can do. And I think if screaming children is not your bag. Theme parks in general, not just Disney World, probably not for you. I think you've got to go into it with eyes open.
It's probably not the best.
It's not a private tour.
Yeah, although you have done a private tour, haven't you? Have you done the VIP tour?
I did the VIP, and so that was quite nice. And I just kept telling myself, don't get used to this. We cannot do this every time that we come. And it was nice. I'll be honest, I also did VIP at Universal in Florida. And I actually think Universal's offering was a lot better than Disney's on the whole. I think Disney's need to slightly improve their offering there, especially on the basis that Disney's VIP offering is considerably more expensive than Universal's. But the only downside to our wonderful guide, Kevin, who was so knowledgeable and charming and was not, as we perhaps thought, you know, where he would be very beating the PR drum and the brand message home at every moment. You know, he was perfectly honest at points when we asked him questions. It does get to the point where you think, I would quite like to queue. I'm British. I want to queue a bit, because I can then chat to my partner. I can just quickly check in on work back home. I can use that time in the queue usefully. And actually, it was almost too good being whisked to the front of most queues.
Because it's non-stop.
Yes, it is non-stop. And it's now what you want to do, now what you want to do. And you almost have to constantly think about what you'd like to do. And OK, Kevin was very good at sort of saying, right, OK, you want to do... Big Thunder Mountain, great, but we're in the Tomorrowland at the moment. It's the other side of the park, so let's try and do stuff that's over here, and then we'll venture over there. So that is good, because especially if you don't know the park particularly well, or the geography as well as you or I do, and a lot of the listeners, that can be useful, because otherwise you can end up going backwards and forwards.
Yeah, just walking around the park for no reason. When it comes to restaurants, I've said there are some nicer restaurants in theme parks. What should you wear? If you're going out, so you've got a date at the theme park, and you think, okay, and then we're going out for a meal on the way back, but you're sweaty, you're in a vest... You're in your, what was it, did you say you wore lycra shorts?
I did not wear lycra shorts. No, I wore what did I wear? Electric yellow shorts.
Electric yellow lycra shorts. what could you wear for a theme park if you know you're going out for dinner at the end of the day? Or is it totally fine to wear theme park clothes in a restaurant?
If you are going to be in one of the hotels or the finer dining options, I think you do need to change. Okay, you can get away with turning up in T-shirt and shorts because... It's Florida, it's always very hot, and it's a theme park. You're not going to be turning up in a suit and tie. But I would all... I mean, my general rule for dining in public, whether it's a very casual joint or a more formal thing, is I always have to wear a collar. So generally, polo shirts provide that, because then you've got something around your neck rather than a T-shirt. So as long as you've got a collar on, and if possible, trousers, if it's the evening... Even if they're a capri pant cropped elegantly at the ankle, I think that's better than shorts with all those great big awful pockets going down the side of them.
Not even a tailored short?
A tailored short would be fine, especially for a lunch, if you're mid theme park.
And Crocs?
Or if you're eating... there is never a reason for Crocs.
You can buy Mickey Mouse Crocs in Walt Disney World. I didn't notice those last time.
Just because Mickey's face is on them doesn't make them acceptable.
And can you wear your Mickey ears in the restaurant? Is that's acceptable?
Well, if you want the Mickey taken out of you, then yes, you can.
And what about buffets? Because, you know, when I go to a buffet, I do like to eat a lot of food, although I think some other people, maybe not British, tend to load up their plates a little bit more. Is there anything we should or shouldn't be doing at a buffet, or just the fact that you paid, just eat your life out?
The whole point of a buffet, yes, it's a progressive experience, and you don't have to get everything at once. And yes, as you allude to, it's normally the non-Brits from a particular country who load up their plate and pile it high, because maybe they can't be bothered to go back, or they think that the food is about to run out, they think rationing's back on, whatever their logic happens to be. You can go back and help yourself to different courses, and less is more. We eat with our eyes, and I don't know about you, if I was faced with a huge great big plate of food, I just would not be able to eat it.
But maybe you're distracted by Winnie the Pooh, who was just on the next table, and you know he's making his way over here. You go, shall I run and get a massive plate, then I don't have to keep going back? It's a real dilemma, William.
Well, it can be, but you can go back in your own time. That is the beauty of a buffet.
And you can stay there all day if you like. I'm sure that's fine as well.
If you desperately want to do that, if you are that sort of person, then yes, you can.
Have you got any more trips planned, William, back to Walt Disney World or any of the other Disney theme parks?
Yeah, I think we might do the Paris one next year, early next year. That's probably on the cards. And yes, the Florida one potentially again at the end of next year. I'd love to see the Hong Kong one, which I know obviously is having the big castle transformation at the moment. I'm waiting for that to be finished. I work in Hong Kong a fair bit, but yet to venture to Disney. So that's on my cards. And I've always wanted to go to Japan, yet alone Japan Disney. So I think the ones I probably do next might be the ones that I'm yet to see.
Japan is the one I'm interested in, because apparently before the parade, people sit on rows in on the floor, like a school assembly, and they sit patiently. And as people come to join the queue, they sit behind them. It's very, very well-mannered. I think you fit in.
I think I would love it. I think it's the opposite of Shanghai Disney. Let's put it that way.
It sounds it.
Yeah, the Japanese, I've always said, are the only nation that make the Brits look relaxed.
Trip to Japan next year. Put it on the cards. William,
I think so.
Thank you for chatting to us, and have a magical day.
Have a magical day, Andy.
And don't forget, if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast coming on for a chat one week, just let me know. Give me a shout. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are at PodMagical. Don't forget to tag us in your pics as well if you are about to hop on that plane for a few days over in the Magic Kingdom over at Orlando. Let me know. If you're going, by the way, it's busy. Usually, the first week in January after the new year was pretty quiet. No, it's been really busy. I've been keeping my eye on the queue times over the last few days. Things like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Flight of Passage getting over 2 hours during the day. So you'd think that usually, like this week in January, is dead, but still really busy. This weekend is going to be particularly busy because we've got the Walt Disney World Marathon. That's a four-day event that started yesterday, so it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, so always gets very busy around then. And then on the 20th of January is Martin Luther King Day, so that's a public holiday weekend next weekend as well in America. So January, as I mentioned on the podcast a few weeks ago, is quite a busy time to go. Weather's nice though. Some days temperatures getting up to like 27, 28 degrees, a little bit cooler at night when it drops down to around 15, but it's dry, get some beautiful clear blue skies as well. Also, this time of year is a time when you can expect a lot of maintenance. So for example, Splash Mountain is down at the minute. Usually in January it's down for quite a few weeks, but I mean, who wants to go on a splash ride when it's pretty cold anyway? You don't want to be getting wet, do you? So Splash Mountain is down at the minute, but that's just for refurbishment. A ride that isn't down very much at all is the brand new Rise of the Resistance, which opened just before Christmas in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Don't forget, there are no fast passes for that. There's no queue for that. You need to get into a boarding group to access that ride and attraction. To do that, you need to be in Hollywood Studios before official park opening, and then at official park opening on the second that the park opens. Once you're in the park, go into your My Disney Experience app and get yourself into a boarding group to ride Rise of the Resistance. They go within minutes of the park opening. So the park could open at 7, you get into your app straight away, you get into a boarding group, and you could be like boarding group 50, which would be like 7 o'clock at night. It is crazy. People are waiting to get into the park still 2 hours before it opens, just so they can be in the park to know they can be in a boarding group. But from everything I've seen about that ride, it is next level. Got a top tip of the week for you this week. Now, this is quite good if you've got a lot of restaurant reservations and you have to cancel. Now, of course, if you cancel your restaurant reservation within 24 hours or you don't turn up to reservation, you get charged. There is a fee. I think it's $10 you get charged. So how about this? See if this works for you. So you've got a restaurant reservation at 5 o'clock. It's 12 in the afternoon and somebody's been taken sick or you don't think you can make it. You can't cancel it because of the forfeit. So try modifying it. If you can modify that reservation for something that's over 24 hours later, so maybe see if you can modify it for a couple of days later, then you're not being charged and you're not losing that deposit. You might want to keep that modified reservation a few days later, but maybe again you think, oh, well, I want to cancel it completely. Modify it for a few days later, and then as long as you're within that 24-hour period, cancel it then.
Might save yourself a few quid. Try that, see if it works, if you have to. But, I mean, why would you want to cancel so many great places to eat at Walt Disney World? Don't forget, we got a regular podcast coming out every Friday. So hit that subscribe button so you don't miss it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from. Regular podcast coming to you every Friday. Tell your friends. And until next week, please stand clear of the doors.